A Double R Radio presentation.
Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents The Immigrant by Alan Brown, being the adventures of A.B. Smith, Doctor of Science in Montreal, and starring Alan King as Dr. Smith. Part 3, The Mediator.
One moment, please. I will now jump. I will whoop. Here I am coming. Whoa, very. I am perfecting the art of stepping out of revolving doors, am I not? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, my head is, how you are saying, spinning 1,000 revolutions per second. All actions go.
Gee, I'm not surprised, Buster. You've been swinging around like some hula hoop.
Oh, yes, quite so. Never be minding. I am now controlling myself. Oh, yes. Could you please tell me exactly the way to the Employment Exchange Bureau, sir?
Sure, but first you'd better face the other way, okay? Right. Now, you take the elevator to the 14th, turn left, and it's straight ahead. You got it?
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm having it, kind sir. 1,001 felicitations, Captain. Bureau of Employment, yes. Oh, good morning and my felicitations. I am not to be intruding, am I interesting, sir?
Hey, what's the matter? You can't read the signs. It says walk in.
It does? Oh, my goodness gracious me, so it does. Yes, I am looking straight ahead, like the elevator gentleman advises, and I'm missing it because it is being above eye level.
Yeah, I imagine everything's above your eye level, ain't it?
Oh, yes, indeed. I am extremely shortchanged, as you are saying. Yes.
Yeah, great. What can I do for you?
I am seeking employment of a very emergency nature, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Mac. We don't hire for the circus here. You better go to the theater agency.
Oh, no, indeed, no, sir. You are quite misunderstanding. I am not being a circus employee.
Oh, you're not, eh? Well, who else employs dwarfs?
Dwarfs? Oh, sir, I'm not being a dwarf. I am 5 feet and 1/4 inch fully stretched. You are seeing me, huh? Fully stretched.
Yeah, you sure can see that for sure. You can just about see over my desk now, can't you? Ain't that something, big boy?
Big boy? I am not understanding. I am fully qualified. Dr. A.B. Smith, Doctor of Science.
You are, eh? Well, say, Doc, that's very different, you know. We sure need doctors around here. What's your specialty?
Specialty?
Yeah, well, that's right. What's your area? What were you trained in?
Oh, indeed, I am understanding. You mean my speciality. Oh, quite so. It is the audibility gap, is it not? Oh, well, yes. It is being difficult to put into a nutcase. My experience is being extremely broad and extensive.
Yeah. Just what is your experience, Doc? I mean, what kind of science?
Oh, yes, indeed. Science, yes. I have been a professor at the Faculty of Oriental Mystical Sciences at Wasufabad University.
This is great. What does this all mean?
What is it meaning that I am teaching students much great mystical knowledge?
What kind of mystical knowledge?
You are not being familiar with the mystics? With the mysteries of our life on earth and the behaviorisms? Oh, sir, it is extremely religious.
Religious? You mean you want a priest job, eh?
Oh, goodness gracious me. No. Priests are of the Christian faith. Oh, no.
Look, what do you do?
Do. Well, we are sitting down in a circular ring and contemplating all day long.
Contemplating? Contemplating what?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We are contemplating our predicaments, of course.
Well, come on, Doc. I'm very busy. What kind of a predicament?
Oh, worldly and spiritual predicament, sir.
Such as?
Such as the computerization of world industry.
Well, now you're talking. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. You mean you're a computer expert. You're a programmer. Right?
Oh, heavens, disintegrated hailstones, they say. No, sir. No, indeed not. That is a mechanical science. I am a spiritual scientist. We are contemplating what an excellent idea for the computers to be running the world of business and trade while we are sitting and meditating.
So that you're we just can't sit around and wait for things to happen, eh?
Why you ever not sit, sir? Things have been happening to me for many, many long months and years, and I have merely been sitting around waiting for them to be happening.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, but certainly, sir. And believe in me, sir, they are happening. All the time, they are happening to me. They cannot be avoided. They are happening to you too, sir.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Oh, but of course. For example, what was it you were doing before I am knocking on your goodly door?
I was sitting around.
Precisely, with exactitude. And when I am knocking, what happened then?
You did.
Exactly, sir. It happened to you.
You mean...
No, you have it, sir. We have had a happening. It all started on the great subcontinent where my people live in dispute with our neighbors. Our great yogis and gurus and wise men of passive thinking were the forewalkers of the happenings. Beautiful flower children and hippie people came from broad and far to hear our wise men's thoughts and then bring them back to your great land, sir.
You're driving me nuts.
What
are those idle bums?
Bums?
Yeah.
Oh, bums. Oh, dear gracious me, I am blushing at bums.
No. You don't understand. They're parasites.
Oh, indeed. No, sir. They are now becoming the great society's activists. You are understanding better, are you not, what is happening? They are all the time sitting down on the White House and getting things done. And as I am saying, we must all sit down and things will be getting done. It is how you are saying, the great paradoxical irony.
Oh, now I'm beginning to see it. Yeah. You know, G-Doc, you worked that out during your professorship?
Well, sir, I'm not being entirely alone in my conclusions of thinking. They are being shared. Oh, yes. But you can be saying that is my area of studies.
Well, hell, it's sure an eye-opener, right? how can I personally put such talents to work?
Work? Oh, work? Oh, no, goodness me, sir. I'm not seeking work, sir. Oh, no, indeed, no. I am seeking employment for my thinking. I am needing much time to think. Are you having the time?
Yeah, sure, Doc. It's 11:45.
11:45. Oh, good gracious me, I have to be off. My potatoes will be burning in their overcoats. Good day to you, sir. Oh, no. That is not what I'm meaning. No, do you have employment for my time, sir?
What? What... Oh, for crying out loud. Couldn't we discuss this tomorrow, Doc? I have this headache.
Oh, goodness gracious me, I am beseeching you to see a doctor.
Doctor?
Yes, sir, I am here. What can I be doing for you? Ah, yes, a headache. Oh, you are extremely fortunate. I am carrying the great remedial cure for such cerebral disorders of the head. Yes, oh, yes, here we are.
What is it, Doc? What is it?
Oh, the great aspirinoa. What? A happy combination of medical minds of both our worlds. A little crushed aspirin, a little curry powder with just a dash of your own inimitable ketchup, and our mango juice. Exceedingly easy on the palate, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I'll just take a little of it. Oh, my God!
Oh, no, sir. Wrong country.
But I'm on fire, Doc. Put me out, call a fire brigade for Christ's sake.
Do not be agitating yourself, sir. It will pass and all will be well. Now, the headache has gone, has it not?
Headache? Oh, yeah, sure. The headache's gone, but I have a burning ember where my stomach used to be.
Well, the gastric juices will soon quell the blaze. Oh, yes, I can promise you, sir. Oh, yes. Now, about my employment.
Yeah. We'll just fill in a form here.
Oh, it is a great pleasure. I am enjoying the form so much. It is a great amusement in my country. We are all day long filling forms.
Yeah, why?
Oh, we are sitting around filling in forms to pass the time of day when we are thinking. It is an exceedingly thoughtless pastime.
Yeah. What kind of forms, Doc?
Oh, for the income tax revenue department, sir. We are all the time filling in the income tax revenue forms.
Well, hell, Doc, you must be pretty rich to have to fill in income tax returns all day long, eh?
Oh, rich? Oh, goodness gracious me, no, sir. We are none of us being rich.
Well, how why then, Doc?
It is exceedingly simple. You are hearing, are you not, of the great Keynesian theory? Well, it is being the same in my country. We fill in a form and purchase a 10-anna stamp. This is creating revenue. Then the income tax revenue officials, they are affixing 10-anna stamps to their envelopes containing the forms. Thus, For one enveloped form, we have created a new revenue for the government of 20 annas. Multiply by 10 forms each daily, and then, sir, multiply again by 120 million people, and you are having an exceedingly great revenue for the government. It is exceedingly clever, is it not?
Hmm? Oh, it's great, I guess. Who pays for all the forms?
Well, it is very simple. We buy them cut price from Peking.
You know what you should be? You should be one of them economists.
Oh, mountains of them. Won't I not being qualified is an exceedingly abstruse and recondite science, and we from my country are not equipped for such a task. In my country, 2 + 2 = 3, and 1 for the tax collector. It is confusing for normal mortals.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of confusing. You want to fill that in, Buck?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But of course, the form, yes. Finish. It is a record, is it not? 23.5 seconds, dead heat. Is that being extremely quick?
Yeah, that's under par, Doc. That's under.
Yeah, well, of course. As I was explaining, I am being a 10-a-day man myself.
Well, that's great, Doc. Can I hear the other 9?
Other 9?
Yeah, that's right. 9. We need them in duplicate for the 3 federal departments, and then quadruplet for the provincial agency. But don't let it worry you, Doc.
Worry?
Yeah, we pay the mailing charges.
Oh, how exceedingly generous. But isn't that extremely expensive for you?
Oh, no. We charge it up to the taxpayer.
Dear me, he must be exceedingly wealthy, gentleman.
The taxpayer? Oh, yeah, sure. That's you, Doc. That's you.
It is? Oh, how exceedingly devious. Oh, yes. Tell me, is your prime minister by any chance an Eastern gentleman? What exceeding kindness to be lining up for me.
We've been waiting to wish you good luck, Dr. Smith, at your interview.
That's right, Doc. And we have this pile of messages from the other residents right throughout the block. We counted them. There are 94 good luck notes.
94? Oh, 94. But there are being only 26 apartments, including my own.
Yeah, well, Dr. Smith, some of them wrote 10. You know what Canadians are. They like to make a bigger impression than their neighbors.
Oh, yes, I am understanding it. But what interview?
Well, ain't you going to the editor there? You know, the stargazer about your job, Doc?
Oh, heavens above, dropping moon rocks from Jupiter. I am quite forgetting. Oh, yes, now I am remembering. That is why I am hurrying out in such haste. I am attending my interview to become a man of letters with a great social conscience, and bring truth to the good Canadian people.
That's right, Doc. And we think you'll be just great. And I'm sure they'll love you. Good luck.
Sure, Doc. Good luck. I bet you'll solve all their problems.
Please be excusing me. Oh, I do beg your pardon. Excuse. Oh. I say, madam, would you please... Oh, my goodness me. Excuse me, sir. Such a hive of busy body. Oh, pardon me. I'm trying to.
What's your problem? You're very busy around here.
I'm excusing you most humbly, sir. I'm looking for the managing editor of your esteemed news publication.
Over there, on your right.
Oh, I am being most gratified to having it explained to me, sir. Thank you most kindly.
Yeah, come on in. Who is it? Where are you? Jeez, poltergeists, help.
I am standing in front of your desk, sir.
You are? Where? Oh, now I can see you. You had me scared for a minute. I thought you were a stain in my carpet.
Oh, you Canadian big chaps have exceeding good humor, do you not? Oh, no, sir. I am here in the full flesh. Dr. E.B. Smith, Doctor of Science and Thinker, reporting.
Reporting? Reporting what?
Oh, do be excusing me, sir. I am knowing how exceedingly busy the editor of a Greek publication is all the time being. I have been telephoning editors and city editors and features editors and editors of all manner of mice and men. Always their secretarials keep telling me, 1,000 pardons, dear at the meeting. Back in 15 minutes. I telephone in 15 minutes. I am so sorry, they have gone to lunch. Be back in 3.5 hours. On the very dot of 3.5 hours, I am telephoning. So sorry, sir. He just left after a very busy full day. I am telephoning the home of the editor, sir. His wife is answering. I am sorry, he's not in. Why do you not try the office? He's never returning to his home before the midnight stroke. So you see, sir, I am understanding all of the busyness of editors.
He is quite right. We've got to get a newspaper out. So what can I do for you? We got no vacancies for reporters.
Oh, no. Sir, I am not seeking an opening for a reporter. I am looking for an editor's vacation.
Vacation? You mean a vacancy.
Precisely. With exactitude.
Oh, dear, no. You can't just get to become an editor overnight. No, sir. You have to slog it out from the bottom rung. You have to get to know this business backwards before you can ever become an editor of a big newspaper.
Oh, you do? You do? Oh, but, sir, I am exceedingly quick. I am learning with lightning speed of snake in the grass. I am having excellent qualifications. I am literate. Do you have many literate men on your staff?
Literate? All the staff of the Stargazer are literate, I'll have you know. Have you read the Stargazer?
Oh, indeed I have, sir. Every day since my arrival as landed immigrant, I am not missing the Stargazer.
Yeah, we have to taste, select the most important stories from around the world and choose from 500 stories a day.
Oh, now I am understanding how exceedingly difficult. I have been wondering why I'm not reading of other topical happenings in the great world outside. I was thinking perhaps that nothing is taking place outside of the great Canadian continent. But of course I am now understanding you are choosing the one very most important story from other lands to give such excellent balance. Oh, yes.
Swell, so you noticed.
Indeed, sir, I did. Yesterday there was an exceedingly crucial story from Dar es Salaam. Oh, yes, indeed, sir. The government is to turn a blinding eye to miniskirts. It is of devastating importance and something we all should know if we are to be free and not to become the prawns of government.
Prawns? Yeah, well, I'm glad you think so.
Except one little thing, sir, if you will pardon me.
Yes, what is it?
Well, on my high-frequency shortwave wireless set last night.
Yeah, well,
I was informed of some additional little items of news.
You were?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes. Little titty bits. There is a revolution in France, a new conflagration in the Middle East. Great Britain has a new government, God save the Queen. And, 14 million are homeless in my country because it is all the time flood raining.
Yeah, well, here we have the newsroom. This is where it all happens. Here we have the reporters and writers pounding out their little masterpieces. Can't you just feel the ink pulsing through their veins?
Oh, yes, indeed. I have been seeing it many times on the motion picture cinema films. They are working and breaking their speed so as not to be missing the hotline, are they not?
Exactly. That's our function here. Good morning, fellas. Everything in tip-top condition, eh? Yes. Well, here we have the teleprinter room. This is the machine.
That's it! That's it, fellas! Stop!
Stop? Stop? What's happening?
There's a strike, buddy.
Just a little joke.
No joke, buddy. No, sir. You touched it, we're struck.
Touched it? Touched it? Oh, come on, fellas. I just put a little thumb on the switch, that's all.
That's enough. You can't touch the machines. They're none of your business. They're our business. That's what we're here for. We're struck. Too late.
Oh, please be excusing me, but it is a strike of demarcation lines, is it not?
No, buddy. It's a thumb strike.
A strike of the thumb, sir?
That's right. Every time this goofball comes in here, he switches off a machine with his thumb.
And it is wrong? He should be using his fingers?
No. He mustn't touch the machines.
Oh, I am understanding. It is a rule of the thumb, is it not?
Now, come along, fellas. It was all a mistake. Be good guys and get back to work.
Nothing doing, buddy. We want consultations.
Oh, geez. We can't have this. We're running close to addition time.
If I might...
Beat it, buddy. This is an industrial dispute. The big time.
Oh, please be believing me, sir. I am not inexperienced in such matters.
You're not.
Oh, indeed, sir. No. It is being my experience that industrial disputes are a divided cause. It is being half a dozen of one and three dozen of the other.
Well, you got a point there, Buster. It's three dozen of them against half a dozen of us.
Oh, indeed. Well, I am declaring that is seeming exceedingly inequitable. What have you got to be answering to that, Mr. Editor, sir?
For Pete's sake, buddy, come back tomorrow. Now, look here, fellas.
Let him stay. He's got a mind in the right place.
Well, you sons of bitches, I'll get you.
He is getting very excitable, gentlemen, and it is my experience that is no way to be solving such grave industrial problems.
That's right, buddy. We're not cattle. Can't just crack a whip and make us jump. No, sir. We're human beings.
Oh, indeed, sir. I am perceiving very well that is what you are, yes. I am thinking that your cause is a just one. Well, tell me, what exactly is your cause?
Well, it's like this. See, me and my buddies here, we've been working from dawn till dusk, 6 days a week.
From dawn until dusk? Oh, perturbations, it's being slavery labor.
That's right, buddy. See, there are six of us here, eh? Me and Jake start operating at 5 a.m.
And you are not leaving until 8 at night. Oh, perturbations.
No. We leave at 10 a.m. Then Mike and Jerry take over from 10 till 3. Then Harry and Sandy come in from 3 till 8. Get it? Between us, we work from dawn till dusk.
Oh, yes, I am understanding. So what is the problem?
Well, apart from all that work and the fact that we only get 90 minutes break, we peg our wages every 3 months.
They are putting the squeeze on you are meaning?
That's for sure.
Oh, what? Yes. I am understanding your predicament. It is undemocratic.
It sure is. So that's it, buddy. Until things change around here, we're staying struck.
I believe I am having an idea to solve your problems with mutual harmony and concord.
You have? What are you lying on the floor for?
I am meditating with levitation. As I am coming on the rise, so is the solution to our grave industrial problem.
Yes? Who is it? Oh, not you again. I thought I told you...
Exceeding pardons and forgiveness, sir, but I am the leader of the workers' deputation.
Deputation? Well, where is the deputation?
I am it, if you kindly are pleasing, sir.
But you can't lead a deputation. You aren't even employed here.
Precisely with exactitude, sir. I am impartially unbiased. I am being the man in the street of mediation.
But it's against the rules.
Having trouble, Doc? Look here, Mr. Big Shot Editor. The Doc's our spokesman, right? So let him present our case history.
But he can't. Look, fellas, go back to work and let me heave this nut out of the room.
Oh, no, sir. Please not be heaving a nut, sir. I am going quietly after I am settling your unfortunate dispute.
Exactly. That's exactly what
that's right. Doing. Let him settle it. Okay. If he goes, we all go.
You
that's
bet it. We all go.
Okay. What have you got to say, buddy?
It is a matter of extreme simplicity and facility, it is seeming to me, sir. The men are being dissatisfied, are they not?
Yeah, it sure seems that way.
But you, sir, you are not being dissatisfied with the men. Is that not so?
Right. They do a good job.
Quite so. So even the men are being dissatisfied, but you are being extremely satisfied, then we have solved half the problem. Are you not agreeing?
How the hell can we be solving half the problem?
Well, sir, if you were both being dissatisfied, you would not be doing your work also, would you, sir?
No, I guess not.
But you are doing your work, sir.
Yeah, we...
Exactly with precision, sir. Only they are not doing their work. Thus, we have only half a problem.
Half? Yeah, well, okay, buddy. But how do you propose to solve half a problem?
Oh, no, sir, no. It is no longer being half a problem. It is now being one completely whole problem.
But you said...
No. Please to be understanding, sir. We are now having the whole entire problem of the teleprinter operator's dissatisfaction.
But you were saying we only had half a problem.
Quite so, sir. But that was in the larger context of management and the workers. Now we have settled the managerial dispute, and we have the whole problem with the workers' part of the dispute.
Jeez, holy mother of infant imbeciles.
Oh, no. I am begging your pardon. For correction, sir. No infants are being imbeciles. They must be growing up to acquire such qualifications.
Yeah. Well, what's next, buddy?
Quite so, sir. Now, for the solution of the whole of the workers' half of the problem, they will agree to return to work if...
Yeah? They... If what?
If you will stop your person touching the switch.
But we've already been over that. That's our whole problem.
Forgive me, sir. That is not the whole problem. That is their problem.
What is my problem?
But you are not having a problem. Oh, no, the problem is their problem.
Oh, hell and crucifixion.
Abuse! This foul-mouthed son of a bitch is abusing us. We don't take that, fellas, do we?
No, we're not taking that.
One more cut of that, buster, and we're out.
Yeah. They are speaking with exceeding rectitude, I am sorry to be saying so. We must be controlling our tempers if this industrial dispute is to be settled in an amicable fashion.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, fellas. What are you proposing?
Our proposal is of exceeding simplicity, sir.
It is? Well, come along, buddy boy, let's hear it.
Tell him.
Oh, you will, sir, in future, before gaining entrance and admission to the teleprinter operator's control room, be wearing a glove on the right hand.
A glove? I can't go around wearing one glove.
Either you wear a glove, son, or we'll short-circuit through the machines and burn your hand off.
But this is ridiculous.
I mean, if I wear a glove and touch the machine, I'm still touching the machine.
No, you're not. Is it, Doc?
Yes. The answer is being no. It is not being ain't right, sir. If you are touching the machine with a glove, sir, you are not touching the machine. It is the glove which is touching the machine, and thus and thereafter, you are exempted from all consequentials.
I am.
Oh, quite so, sir, quite so. The Teleprinter Workers' Association rules with abundant clearness that the machine should not be handled by another person of a differing trade union. It makes, however, no mention of being touched by one glove which is not so represented by our confederations of labor. Am I being correct?
Yeah, right.
Am I being erroneous, gentlemen?
Oh, you're right. Doc's right. Your say is right.
But a one-gloved editor, for Pete's sake.
It is not exceedingly inconvenient, Mr. Editor, sir.
What do you mean, not inconvenient? How the hell can
One moment, if you are pleasing, sir. I can be imagining inconveniences of far greater magnitude.
You can?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. If, for example, you are intruding on matters photographic in the processing laboratory and you are pressing your illegal naked eye to the microscope, that indeed would be more magnitudinous, would it not? I mean, a black patch would be necessary, would it not?
Take him away. Take him away. Open the case.
No, sir, Mr. Big Show Editor. The doc's right, and there's no getting away from it.
He's right.
Take it or leave it. What's it to be?
Okay. I give in. I surrender. I'll wear a glove.
Excellent. Good. Then it is being settled. I am exceedingly happy to have been of such service, gentlemen.
That was great, Doc. Say, you sure know how to get things fixed, eh?
It was nothing, gentlemen. I am being a firm believer in kid glove diplomacy, and then I am finding there is never the need to be dirtying one's hands.
Yeah, sure thing, Doc. Well, anyway, we'll be seeing you when the race comes around, eh?
So it is being settled, sir.
Yeah. Well, I guess you did a pretty fair job of negotiating. And it didn't cost me a cent.
Oh, no, just a right-handed glove, sir. Yes, indeed. Disputes are not matters of financial grievances and material concessions. Oh, no, sir. They are matters of honor and saving of face.
Face saving?
Yes, indeed, sir. Take my people, sir. Take my people. It is impossible to make proof to them that white is ever right, because black must always be right. But if black were being white, white would be right. Are you understanding me perfectly, sir?
Am I? Go on a little and try me some more.
Oh, quite so, sir, quite so. Now, if white were black, then black would not be right, because it is right to be white and not right to be black.
But I thought you said...
Oh, yes, sir. Would you please be so kind as to explaining what I was just saying?
You were just saying...
Oh, yes, I am exceedingly grateful, sir. Yes, as I was just about to be saying, it is not right to be white if you are black, but right to be white if you are white. Thus, it is not right to be black if you are white. And in your journalist jargon, sir, vice versa.
Yeah, well, I guess that's white. I mean right, but how does that save faces?
We must eliminate black.
You mean exterminate?
Oh, goodness gracious, perturbations and megatons from Mars, no.
How do we eliminate black, then?
Simple, sir. We call it white.
We... what? Good day to you, sir.
That was part three of The Immigrant by Alan Brown. Dr. A.B. Smith was played by Alan King, Glickstein by Ted Ziegler, Mrs. Pilling by Eileen Clifford, the editor by Don McGill, the clerk in the employment office by Peter Cullen, the doorman by George Alexander, and the operator by Robert Duncan. The music was composed and played by Gerald Wheeler. The Immigrant was produced by Earl Pennington and made available to this station by the International Service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.